living for the Lord, and the Lord has seen it within Himself to reach down and pick us out of the miry clay. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm excited about what God is going to do this morning. If you have your Bibles, open up to Micah chapter 6. Amen. Micah chapter 6. Hallelujah. One of the minor prophets. Micah chapter 6. Say amen when you're there. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid to use your index at the front of the Bible. That's what it's there for. Amen. Sometimes if you don't go to these minor prophet books so often, you forget where they're at, right? Amen. Amen. I'm the only one like that. That's okay. Chapter 6, Micah, verse 8. We're going to read one passage of Scripture this morning. Amen. Micah 6, 8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee. Everybody say, Lord require. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. I'm going to focus on what the Lord requires. Amen. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee. So the Lord shows us sometimes what's required. Amen. But are we looking? He can show us. But are we looking? Are we paying attention to what God's trying to say? Hey, look, I require this, thus, and so out of you. Amen. Are we looking? Are we paying attention to God? Amen. Put your Bibles down and let's pray to the Lord right now. God, I lift you up this morning. Jesus, God, I pray right now, God. It's all about you this morning, God. It's not about us. We need to decrease this morning, God, so that you can increase. Amen. Lord, let your word come forth right now, God. There's someone under the sound of my voice this morning, God, that needs to hear from you. Amen. Somebody needs your word, God. Somebody needs a nugget. Somebody needs to know, God, that you're out there watching out for us this morning, God. Lord, I want you to minister to us this morning, God. Let your word not return void this morning, God, in your presence. And let everybody say amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Micah chapter 6. Verse 8, what does the Lord require of thee? Amen? I'm going to title this message this morning, A Carpenter and His Wood. Amen. A carpenter and his wood. Like, wow, where is he going to go with that? A carpenter and his wood. Amen. My text this morning reflects upon the minor prophet Micah and his foretelling of God's controversy for unkindness, for ignorance, for injustice, and for idolatry. Once again, the story of a prophet called by God to talk directly to the people to get them to change from their evil ways. Amen? The Old Testament, the major prophets and the minor prophets are there for a reason. There are lots of books. Amen? From the prophets. What is that telling us? That Israel messed up a lot? They're leaving us a good example to say, hey, look, don't do that. Don't do this. And I'm telling you why. What would have happened if the prophets wouldn't have written upon these things? Would they have been forgotten about? Amen. The Word of God, our Bibles, were written by men, were they not? Yes. Everybody say yes. They were written by men, but they were inspired by God. Amen. Our Bible is the infallible Word of God. Amen. The Word is true. We believe our Bibles this morning. We either do or we don't. Amen. We say it all the time. You can't just pick and choose what you want to believe out of the Bible. You either believe all of it, or don't believe any of it. Amen? So I want to talk to us this morning about a carpenter. A lot of times when we first think of carpenter and we think of the Bible, what do we think of? We think of Jesus, do we not? Was Jesus a carpenter? His father was a carpenter. Now, what I want us to keep in our minds, it's hard for me to find a scripture where God was holding a hammer and nail. Okay, we don't see that. So, was God a carpenter? His father was a carpenter, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but start thinking on this. Young boys were often trained up in the trades of their father, were they not? God had a fleshly father, and he had a spiritual father, did he not? Which one, which attribute would he take on? Amen? So, simply put, several thoughts on how a carpenter uses the primary tools of his trade, wood. How he would study and learn the different attributes of different types of wood, and how to make them work best for the job at hand. Amen? Let's get our brains to thinking this morning, okay? Back in the days of the Bible, though, there were people who were extremely skilled in carpentry. In fact, they were very skilled in the nation of Israel because of the fact that there were so few trees in Israel. So wood was a precious commodity. Amen? This forced the carpenters back in Bible times to learn techniques that were highly skilled so that they would not waste wood. Wood was so rare, it was so expensive, that they became very skilled at techniques of using wood so that nothing would be wasted. Amen? In fact, as we think about the carpenters that lived in Israel in Bible times, let us think about our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that when it came time for Him to be born of a virgin, Mary, He was born into a family that was very familiar with carpentry. Amen? In fact, the stepfather of our Lord Jesus Christ, Joseph, and we can say stepfather or his earthly father, amen, was a carpenter in the city of Nazareth in the province of Galilee. The Lord Jesus Christ, therefore, was raised in a carpenter's family. Okay? It was custom among the Jews of the first century to teach their sons the skills that the father and the family had. So probably somewhere around the age 15, the Lord Jesus began to learn from his stepfather, Joseph, the skills involved in being a carpenter. Amen? There was a saying among the Jewish men in the nation of Israel, if you do not teach your son how to work, you teach him how to be a thief. Amen? Boy, we could apply that to today, huh? If you don't teach your son how to work, bring him to the unemployment line so he can get some unemployment checks and some food stamps. Amen? We should not be slothful. Amen? The Bible tells us, and I'll get into what the Lord thinks about a man providing for his family. Amen? So, if you do not teach your son how to work, work implies what? Doing something, does it not? It means action. Okay, remember that? You teach him how to be a thief. So in all probability, about the age of 15, Jesus began to learn carpentry skills from his stepfather, Joseph. So, would he have learned things? Yes, but the Bible doesn't specifically say that he went out and he began to build houses. Physical houses out of wood and nail and things like that. Amen? Who would have known that this carpenter's son would soon be doing his real calling from his real father? Amen? How many of us this morning have indeed gone through the same exact childhood of Jesus? We've grown up thinking and believing that we are supposed to conduct our lives in the flesh, working and participating in the world we've grown accustomed to. A carpenter knows his wood because he's supposed to know the works of his trade. But what is our real calling in this world that we live in? We know through studying our Bibles that Jesus came to minister to the lost and not to be ministered to. Amen. He knew he had to go out and do some work. Amen. For his kingdom. Matthew 20:28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Amen. Jesus came to be a minister, not a carpenter. But all who knew him thought of him as a carpenter. Amen. They were quick to point out, isn't this that carpenter's son? Most had a preconceived notion of what Jesus was supposed to be, and they didn't want to believe that he could be anything else except a carpenter's son. After all, young men more often than not followed in their father's trade. So how could they believe a lad of 12 years old left behind in the synagogue, in the temple, teaching the scribes? Isn't this Joseph's little son, this 12-year-old? He's going to be a carpenter. Why is he in my temple teaching to the scribes? Could you imagine a chief priest walking about and he sees a 12-year-old carpenter's son teaching the scribes and everybody's standing around with their mouths wide open, apparently, and in awe, believing how could this 12-year-old child bring forth words and wisdom at such a young age? Why would you let this carpenter's son inside my temple start teaching? I am the chief priest. I designate who does this and who does what in the house of the Lord. After all, the house of the Lord is supposed to be in order. How dare you let this child in here start teaching this? But they could probably say, but you don't understand. You ought to listen to this young man. He's got some things that will make you scratch your head. How does he know these scriptures? He's only 12 years old. Shouldn't he be studying wood? How to plane wood? How to cut it at 90 degrees? All these things. Shouldn't he be doing that? Why is he focused so much on the word? Hallelujah. Amen. So they had a preconceived notion that Jesus should be this. A lot of times, what do we do with people? We stereotype them. We think that they should be this. When they come out of that box and they start doing the work of the Lord, we step back and say, they are not supposed to be doing that. What does he think he's doing? What does he think he's doing? I know him. He's this, thus, and so. It's the same thing when we go back home to our families and they say, oh, well, look at you now. Who do you think you are? You're better than everybody else because you're following the Word of the Lord. They have a preconceived notion because they've seen us grow up. They think that we should be this Marine, this Airman, this soldier. Amen? A Coast Guardman. Amen? They think that's what we should be. But they don't understand. The cocoon has been opened. And what's happened? A new creature comes out. Amen? A new creature has come out of that cocoon. And they don't understand it. All they sometimes see is, yes, he smiles. He's got a good nature. Doesn't the butterfly look more beautiful than a caterpillar? Amen. We've gone through that transformation. But a lot of times, even people inside the house of the Lord, they don't want to see that person come out of their shell. Well, who do they think they are? Oh, now he's teaching, so he's all above that now, ain't he? And we get this thin skin that we were talking about earlier, instead of us having thick skin, because we're not in the front. Amen. How can you be in the front if you don't allow God to use you? These two messages this morning are so intertwined. It's God. Amen? So we fight the same battle within ourselves today. We've grown up from the very beginning hearing from our parents that we need to get a good education and then a good job and to be able to provide for our families. Amen? As men, we go the extra lengths to ensure that we are providing the sustenance to our families that they deserve. After all, the Bible does say that a man that does not provide for his family is worse than an infidel. Amen? 1 Timothy 5 and 8. Can you and I be looked upon today by others and they be allowed to comment on us? How can this person be a preacher? I thought he was a lawyer. I thought he was in the Air Force. Since when did he become a Bible thumper? Does this sound familiar? People, particularly our relatives, are quick to judge and slow to accept. Quick to judge and slow to accept. Amen? Not just our relatives. Sometimes the people sitting right on the side of us on the pew. Amen? They are quick to judge and slow to accept our new lives in the Lord. They don't understand the story of the carpenter and his wood. They don't understand how someone can live an entire life totally engulfed in their trade and simply give it all up for Jesus. They don't understand why you can give up a $150,000 a year job to become an evangelist. How will you take care of your family if you go in the evangelist field? Why would you give up the security of a great job making $150,000 a year? Why would you do that for the Lord? People just don't understand it. Sometimes people in the church don't understand it. It's a hard concept for some people to grasp. But it's really simple. It's really simple. When you trust in the Lord, that's it. You trust. That's what it's called. I mean, it's trust. You know that He's going to take care of you. You don't have to worry about the money. You don't have to worry about anything else. You just need to propagate the Word of the Lord. You need to proselytize the Word of the Lord. He said, you do that and I'll take care of you. You don't have to, take up your cross and follow me. The fishermen didn't worry about how they were going to feed their family when they dropped their nets and followed Jesus. They weren't worried about it. Now some say, hey, let me go back and bury my family. And what does Jesus say? Hey, let the dead bury the dead. Don't you worry about all those other things. You focus on me and I'll take care of all those other things. Amen. It's the same way. It's the same way with the way that people think about us every once in a while. Amen. Hallelujah. Is this good enough this morning? They don't understand that you give up all that money to become an evangelist. But then I thought you said that the Bible said that men must take care of their families. How can they take care of their families if they're evangelists and not making that $150,000 a year job? They don't have to. Jesus will do that. Amen. Let them know that Jesus was never a carpenter. Amen. Once he became of age, I don't read my Bible where he grabbed a hammer and a nail and constructed a house. Amen? Let them know that you are not what they thought you to be. Only now you are something better. Amen? Before a carpenter begins to nail anything together, they must first look at the blueprint and see how everything will fit together. Amen? Then they order all the materials and decide on which corner of the house they will start on. But before that, before the first nail gets hammered in, a strong foundation is poured and is leveled off. Once the concrete is completely dry, only then will a carpenter ascend on the job. But the carpenter's job is very specific. They normally don't do electrical or plumbing work. Masonry is typically left up to someone else as well. A carpenter knows wood and will usually not go out of his area of expertise during the course of the build-out. Amen. Jesus came to this earth with a specific thought in mind. Amen. He knew the blueprint. He came to save mankind from our own sins, not to solve all of the problems that we've created on our own. Amen. But to minister to the lost and provide us an example of how we can get to heaven. Amen. It's here. Here's our blueprint to get to heaven. Amen. God has designed it. Man has wrote down the instructions in this book from what God has revealed to them. Amen. Why would you not follow the directions to build something? We say it all the time, but I don't do it. When I have things at home that need to be built, I take it upon myself. I don't need that direction. My wife says, why don't you read the directions? And I said, I don't need the directions, Brother Smith. We don't need a map to get where we're going. Do we not, men? We know how to do it automatically. You should turn there, the map says, oh, this probably goes the same way. And at 50 miles, we turn around and we come back where we should have turned in the first place. Do we not? Why do we do that? Because it's in our flesh. We're hard-headed like that. It's the same way with living for God. Why would you turn to the left if he tells you to go straight? It's beyond me. But we do it all the time. And then we have to backtrack, and God's up there scratching his proverbial head, saying, oh, man, you guys are hard-headed. I thought Israel was hard-headed. I gave the Gentiles a place in line right next to the Jews. Why should we want to upset God the same way the Jews did and Israel did? He's given us probably, you know, the one chance to come to him. He gave Israel lots and lots and lots of chance. But, you know, bottom line is they are his chosen people. We are the Gentile nation, are we not? Yes, we are. God said, hey, I'm going to make an exception. I'm going to allow the Gentiles to come to me the same way that Israel was given the first chance. So that's telling me, like, hey, you know what? He made an exception for me, Brother Vega. He made an exception for me and my family. So you know what? I may have this only one chance. I was telling my wife last night, I read a question a gentleman that we knew asked. And he said, do you think it's a sin or do you think Holy Ghost-filled people should go to a carnal concert? It was a question that was posed. Seeing all the different answers. But you know what? A lot of the answers had the same thing. Well, why? And there goes that why word. Why? Well, it's the same thing as this. It's the same thing as that. And I'm not trying to make a point about the concert, whether to go or not. The point is that people have all these different excuses, whether they will do something or not. But you know what? As long as we're in the flesh, we will always have those things. We need to get the flesh out of the way. Because you know what? Jesus will always come up with the correct answer. The key is getting our little flesh out of the way and allow Jesus to surface himself. Because we want to press him down. We say, God, I got this. I got this. I'm a man. I know what he is. I got it going on. And he's like, okay, I know the end from the beginning. I can see where you're going, but go ahead and let yourself fall. And he'll let us. He'll let us. He'll turn your mind over to a reprobate mind in a heartbeat. Amen. We have to learn where our place is. Jesus knew where his place was. He knew that he wasn't a carpenter. Amen. He knew he had a specific mission. That mission was to come and save the lost. People said, no, you're this. They stereotyped them. They put him on this side of the line. But he said, no, I don't belong there. This is what I really came for. The disciples had a hard time seeing it. How many times? What must I do? Here, Thomas, look at my hands. Why must you doubt me? You see me work miracles. Brother Vega, how many times has God answered your prayers? So why, when anything else comes up in our lives, why don't we immediately go back to God? If he's done something in our lives. Amen. Talking about a carpenter knowing his wood. Do you know your God? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Our Bible study this morning alludes to others available to the work of the Lord. Only Jesus knows how to build his church. Not just a physical structure, what man can see and touch, but more importantly, the spiritual man. Remember, the church is made up of men and families. Amen? Families came before the church. The church is made up of families. That's why it's so important for us as a family unit to be totally in touch with God. Because we become strong. We make the church strong when all of us are in the same mind and the same accord. And everybody, it's like a wheel with spokes, is it not? When all those spokes are there and they're nice and tight, the wheel is supported. But lose a couple of them. And what happens? You know, we get that wobbleness. Amen? It's the same way with living for the Lord. That's why it's so important, man. You're the head of your house. Treat it as such. Be the head of the house. Make the decisions that's going to allow you and your family to get to heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. Only Jesus knows how to build His church. Psalms 102:25 tells us, "Of old has laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands." Jesus is the supreme carpenter in the very essence of the word. He created all and expects all to worship Him. Architects and carpenters, as master builders, are proud to display their works, are they not? They want to tell the world, "Look what I've created! It's magnificent." God tells each and every one of us, "Look, I've created you to worship me. Isn't that magnificent?" He is the supreme architect. Amen. He's the master builder. And not only does He design it, He says, "I'm going to be in my plan. I'm going to be the chief cornerstone. Everything else is going to be focused on me. I'm going to carry the weight." Amen. Of the world. "You can count on me. I'm a strong foundation. I'm the cornerstone of your lives. Allow me to be that cornerstone of your lives." Amen. But we'll see that cornerstone in place and we'll want to start on the other side of the building. And when we get there, it just doesn't fit right. Take Him and allow Him to be the focus of your life and the chief cornerstone of your own lives. Amen. Allow Him to be that. That's what He wants us to be. He knew that wood to use. I'm sorry. He knew what wood to use when He was creating us. He put that special little something in all of us that is the foundation on which to build a personal relationship with Him. Every man is given a measure of faith, Romans tells us. Faith on which to continue to build a relationship with God. Amen? And this small measure of faith that allows us to break out of our fleshly mold, the mold that everyone expects us to reside in, is this cocoon, this safe place that many people have a hard time escaping from. They don't realize that God expects us to be called the proverbial carpenter's son just for a little time while we are establishing our love relationship with Him. On the flip side, once we receive the Holy Ghost, He expects us to be called a disciple of the Lord. So everybody get that? Before we come to the Lord, we are this, thus, and so. That's what people expect us to be. But once we get the Holy Ghost, that is no longer us. Amen? We're a different creature in the Lord. As such, a new creature is not going to act like the old creature. And a lot of times, we want to go visit those old ways because they taste good. It satisfies our flesh. And Jesus said, "That's what I can't have you to be. I don't want you to be Lot's wife." Don't look back. He brought you from someplace. Someplace that you didn't need to be. So many times in our eyes, we can't see that old lifestyle was bad for us. God took us and delivered us from that spot for a reason. Because we can't make it to heaven by being in the old man or the old woman. Amen? Hallelujah. We have to be changed. We have to be changed. Hallelujah. It's this small measure of faith that allows us to break out of that fleshly mold. Amen? Hallelujah. Are you proud to be called an airman, a sailor, a soldier, a marine? How much more proud should we be at being called a child of the Lord? Amen? As a military person or any other person who has a trade, are you proficient at what you do? Probably so, or else you wouldn't be in that particular trade. You've earned the respect in your job because you've applied yourself to learn everything you could about it. Long hours, testing, dedication, paychecks, they all contribute to who we are in our trades. You want to be pleasing to your boss because you want to hear your boss say, "Well done." We like it when we work and we say, "Hey man, that was a good job. I appreciate it. Keep it up." Is it so hard to comprehend that God expects the same thing from us and that we want to hear Him say, "Well done"? We see how they mirror each other. Did God do that for a purpose? You know, we don't have all the answers to why God does some things. But sometimes God is so magnificent in the way that He thinks and does things that we can see the direct correlation between this in the flesh world and this in the spiritual world. How God can take something migrated from the old and just turn it into something good. Amen. But He allows those things that we use in our fleshly walk, some of those tools that we have in our little belt, you know, that we're successful in life at, He allows us to carry some of those tools up into our spiritual walk. Because He knows that each of us have that little nugget, that little special thing in us that allows us to be successful in life. And He knows those things can allow us to be successful in the spiritual world as well. Amen. We all know that we're good at something, someone or another. We all know that. We all have a special gift. draw, you can cut wood, you can do this. And you know what? God says, take that and bring it to the Lord. I manifested that in you in the flesh world because I knew you could do it. Don't throw it away just because you think it's coming from the old world. God can use you in any capacity. Amen? So, it's so hard for us to comprehend that once we retire from our old jobs, that these folks will not care one iota about what happens to our lives. Everybody hear that? When you retire from your job, if I was to retire tomorrow from the Marine Corps after X amount of years, in 2 weeks, nobody would even know that I was ever in that shop. And you know what? They don't care. And it's not that they're ugly people, but you know what? Life goes on in the Marine Corps. They're going to get somebody to come sit in my chair and do the same exact job that I was doing. That's why I can't give all of my time and all of my resources to the Marine Corps. Because you know what? Once I'm gone, I'm gone. That's it. They carry on. But, my God, amen, the God that I serve, I'm going to dedicate all of my resources and the time that I have to give to Him. Because you know, no matter what, even when my body is rotting in a casket, Sister Marsh, my soul is going to be with Him. It's eternity. It's eternity. That's a long time. It's a long time in hell, too. It would probably be longer. When your mouth is open, say, just a drop of water on my tongue. I don't even want to take a chance. That's it. I don't want to take a chance. So, I can't give all myself to my work because they're not going to take care of me. They're not going to be there for me in the end. My family and my God will. Amen. They will. They will. That's why it's so important to put your family first and God. Put your God above everything else, even above your family. And he says, well, you know what? You care and you love me more than anything else on the face of this earth. I'm going to take care of you because I'm not going to forget what you're doing for me. Amen. Man will forget. Those people where I work at won't care anything about me. They don't. So you know what? I give my hard day's work. At the end of the day, I go home and I forget all about that stuff. But a lot of times, we're so dedicated because we signed our name on that line that they call us in all these hours of the night. They come into work, bang, we're gone. Sorry, babe, got to go. Can't go to my wife's birthday this year because I'm going to be in the field. What am I going to do? Ask to take off? Yep, boss says, nope, can't do it. I'll wait a week. He might get over it. Waited a week. Hey, can I take off? My wife needs to go to church ladies' conference. Oh, sorry, can't take off. What am I going to do, Brother Sam? I'm committed. I made the commitment, right? So I want to make an even better commitment to the Lord. When he said, hey, brother, I need you to do this. I'm there. I need you to go to outreach. There we go again on that outreach thing, huh? I'm there. But you know what? I say it because there's not enough people that's going. But can I be honest? Everybody can look at me. I'll say it. There's not enough people that goes outreach from this church. We need to participate. God is participating in our lives. We need to participate. If you're scared to go to outreach, come and I will hold your hand. You can come with me. Because you know what? I am not always comfortable doing outreach. But I still go. Okay? That's the most important thing. Being obedient. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah? Because a carpenter knows his wood. Do you know your value to the Lord? Do you know your value to the Lord? That's my whole topic here this morning. How important are you to the Lord? Very, very, very important. Do you realize that? But he wants us to do some things. We're people of action. The new church would have never been formed if they wouldn't have been in the upper room preaching to those 130 folks. Amen? They wouldn't have ended up at the end of the day with how many? 3,000. If they wouldn't have did some things. Amen? John the Baptist would have never lost his head if he would have kept his mouth shut. And you say, whoa, that's extreme. Jesus said, you will suffer for my name's sake. Are you ready to go there? It's a commitment, is it not? It's a commitment. Who knows Brother Frizzell? Vietnam? Evangelist? Missionary, I'm sorry. Told me a story. I think he was getting robbed, if I remember correctly. Or he was in jail, and with the cause of it, had a weapon to his head. And this is only like 10 years ago. And he's like, you can't shoot me. My God's not going to. He sent me here as a missionary. There's no way he's going to allow you to pull that trigger. He's still alive today. I mean, that's the testimony we can have for the Lord. Amen. That's when you know who you are in God. And even better yet, how God is in you. Go ahead, take it. You know what? I'm better off going to heaven anyway than living on this earth. How would Paul feel after he got stoned? What do you think he would have learned the first time? He quit preaching that gospel, man. Them rocks hurt when they hit you on your head. He didn't give up. He didn't give up. Amen. It had to hurt. I would be like, oh, God, why you put me through this? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's talking to somebody right now. You came here for a reason this morning. Are you doing everything you can for God? So, it's hard to comprehend that anybody's going to care about us. That's it. Once we leave work, it's final. The trade we learn will no longer be associated with it. So, all that school, all that on-the-job training, all of this, it's all going to be for naught. Because we don't need it. Now we're going to a new chapter in our life. I don't need all those skills. What about living for the Lord? Not so with your true calling to God. So why put so much of our lives into the fleshly world? Acts 14:8-16. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent on his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. Familiar story, amen? The same heard Paul speak. So this man had heard Paul speak before, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on that feet. And he leaped up and walked. He just didn't say, you know, well, he said, I'm going to have, go ahead. And he just lethargically stood up. No, he leaped up on his feet, amen. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Laconia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. Said, oh, look at these guys. They're healing. They must be gods. No, it says gods with a small g. Amen? And they called Barnabas, Jupiter, and Paul, Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands into the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, sirs, why do you do these? Why do you do these things? We also are men of like passions with you and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all the things therein. What is Luke the writer saying in this passage? People perceive us to be things we are simply not. That's it. Plain and simple. God's not making this hard. These people, when they saw these gentlemen heal this man, they thought they were gods. They had a preconceived notion of what these guys were by the simple fact of what just happened. Amen? So, people perceive to us to be simply things we are not. And they will continue to perceive us to be something we're not unless we tell them who we really are. When you go to work, Brother Vega, do people know that you're a Christian? Or do you have to tell them? Do people know when I go to work, and if they say, oh, here comes these, you know, they hear these customers, I say, hey, please don't curse in here. When they do that, or do they know that you're a Christian where you're at? Or would they be surprised if we were to go to your office and say, hey, Sister Bobby, and they'd be like, sister, what's up with that? Are you embarrassed of the Lord? Are you embarrassed to be called brother or sister? Maybe not embarrassed, but just like, well, I don't want to be put into a category of being just such or so. Why not? Why not be able to say, or to have another brother or someone in your office say, hey, would you pray for me? Isn't that an awesome responsibility if somebody's going to say, hey, brother, would you pray for me? My family's going through this. They might not even be in church. You've got to take it upon yourselves to be a representative of the Lord no matter where you're at. I gave a guy in my church a handkerchief 2 weeks ago because his wife thinks she has throat cancer. He's a non-Christian. He doesn't believe in God. They don't go to church. I've told them all the time about God. He doesn't want to accept it. But still, we can't ever give up. You never can tell. It's a little handkerchief that the women had here in their prayer, and I put a little note on the inside of it. I say, hey, have your wife put this in her purse and sleep with it underneath her pillow. I don't know if they've done it or not, Brother Sam. Don't know. And you know what? It doesn't really matter to me. All I know is that the Bible tells us that we can do these things. If you have faith, and they don't have any, we can do it anyway. Why not reach out for action and do things like that? Amen. It lets people know, you know what, this kind of Holy Ghost, this kind of Christian, they're the real thing. They believe in what they preach, and what they read. They believe in what they teach. Amen. We have to be able to be vocal on the Lord's behalf on the same things over and over and over again. We need to tell the people about God and what He's done for us. That's our testimony. That's our testimony. Amen. Hallelujah. So, Luke's telling us that everyone there, people perceive them to be things that simply are not. So why is it in Matthew 28 that He tells us to go and teach all nations? But, are you really solid in the fact that you're a child of God? Are you safe in knowing who you are? Do you want people to know that you're a true Christian and believe in the following and the teachings of the Bible? Or do you hide behind a veil? What do you mean by that, hiding behind a veil? Amen? Simply, you may be sitting on the pew today thinking that if I simply believe and continue to read my Bible and live a good life, why should anyone need to know my beliefs? Does anybody need to know that you're a Christian? If you're doing what you should be doing? Hey, my family's good to go. I do this. My family does that. Why do I need to tell anybody about it? Isn't I responsible for my own salvation? Have you thought about that? That's what the Bible says. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why do you have to worry about Joe Schmuckatelli down the block salvation? Don't you have enough to worry about yourself? Amen. Is that what that scripture is really saying? God came to minister to who? To the saved? He came to minister to the lost. Amen. We are a direct representative of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We should be ministering to the lost. Amen. It's an easy concept. It boils down to you as a carpenter, knowing your wood. Do you know what you're supposed to be doing after you receive the Holy Ghost? If not, your Heavenly Father can teach you. Just become a piece of clay on the potter's wheel and watch the work begin. Ah, but you don't understand, preacher. I just want to be saved and worry about no one else except me and my family. Well, my friend, that is not love. And you will not make it to heaven if we don't follow the second most desired commandment the Lord put before us, and that is to love our neighbor. How can we say we love people and the destiny of their soul if we are not prepared to help them? So many times we preach about this, we preach about that, but you know what? God is love. You see the signs all over the place, right? Jesus is love. God is love. And people just, it's a passe thing. You just take it for granted because you see it all. It's like one of these, Brother Sam. You know? And what does that mean in the general context? Peace what? Peace in your life? Peace on earth? Peace in your home? It has a lot of different connotations. But we all know what love is. Amen? That warm and fuzzy when we get outside, when somebody knows they genuinely care about you. Amen. That's what we need to be doing to our families and our communities. Amen. Hallelujah. Talking about love. How can we say we love people if we're not worried about their souls? Well, the Bible says to work out your own salvation, doesn't it? Yes. But only after you've been introduced to the Lord. After that, we need to tell people about love, mercy, the grace of Jesus. Ironic is that Jesus, the son of a carpenter, was to die on a cross made of wood. How ironic is that Jesus did what He was supposed to do? How ironic is it that Jesus left an example for us to follow, yet so many times we simply ignore or pretend not to deem it important enough to comply? Jesus is a master builder. Not was, but still is. He is the soul, He's in the soul business, and He knows His trade very well. But God doesn't have a patent or a copyright on salvation. It is freely given, and we don't have to ask for permission to use it or to have money to be able to use it. But there's one sticky point. It's like any other product. It must be used in a certain way or it simply will not work. Failure to follow directions will leave us in the dark, wondering how to turn the light on. Failure to follow directions will leave us lost, searching for the door that will become smaller and smaller the further we get from Him. Last week I spoke about the bridegroom and how some of the brides left to go buy oil for their lamps. While they were out, the bridegroom came and shut the door. Are you prepared for the Master? Do you know your calling? Are you waiting for a man to cast you into the pool of Bethesda whenever the angel of the Lord troubles the water? John 5 and 6. Are you waiting for someone to say, okay, looks like you have all the tools and you need to be successful for the Lord. Go out and preach the gospel. We have to be careful. The Sadducees and the Pharisees thought they had everything they needed to be successful, yet they totally missed the mark when Jesus came in on the scene. They were like, we have the law. We have the law. Amen. But Jesus wasn't about the law. Was he? He came so that the law would be pushed to the side. They were all outstanding citizens among themselves, and they went to great lengths of portraying a delightful and a holy outward appearance. But on the inside, they were hypocrites. Today, the world is all too ready to call church members hypocrites. It's so prevalent that many people simply refuse to go to church based on that thought pattern. We have to remember that Jesus dealt with the same issue. Our Bible teaches us that there is nothing new under the sun, meaning that church hypocrisy has been around since the time of Jesus and will continue to be here until the Lord calls His church home. The key to remember is, I don't want to be the one accused of being a hypocrite. Do your part. Don't worry about your neighbor. Do your part about hypocrisy and the things that you say and do within the church, and you and your family will be okay. If every one of us in this church does our part, our whole church will be good. Amen. And the Lord will bless this church. And He will use this church. Amen. The reason for hypocrisy is that the church is made up of people. Regardless of how we view them, people bring baggage with them to church. And if we're not careful, that baggage can contaminate the very church itself. Amen. We see Jesus handling this when He flips over the merchants' tables in the temple in Matthew 21. The people had become so numb to the church that moneylenders thought it a good place to conduct business instead of being about the Lord's business. Amen. The Lord became physical because His house and the people were not in order. Amen. So God has already given us the tools to be successful in our true careers. Tap into the source called the Spirit. It will lead and guide you to all truth, the truth about why God really made you and I. Jesus did not come to earth to be a carpenter. It was simply His earthly Father's calling and a way for Joseph to support his family. We all know that we need to work to provide for our families. Amen? But what kind of work do we need to be doing? Missionaries leave everything they know and go with little or nothing to foreign shores. I already talked about this. And you might say, well, you know what? That's not for me, preacher. There's no way I'm going to be a missionary. Amen? I could never do that. You're right. You could never do it. But God can. And that's where we need to have our thought pattern change. Amen. You can't do it, Brother Delby. There's no way. Not on your own, you can't. But when you say, with God, nothing is impossible. What does it say about the mountain? Just speak to it. Speak to the mountain. Be thou removed from me. Amen. What did He have to do to Satan in the garden? He had to speak to Satan. Amen. He had to quote the Scripture back at Satan. We have to learn to call upon God with our mouths. Ask specifically what He would have us to do. Ask specifically when we have a prayer that we need to answer to the Lord. Amen. The word He gave His disciples says this: if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Matthew 16. Amen. Jesus tells us in Matthew 10, go to the lost of the house of Israel. Heal the sick, clean the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have been given, freely give. Provide neither gold, neither silver, nor brass in your purse. Neither take two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And whatever house or city you shall enter, if they receive you not, depart out of that house or city, shake the very dust off your feet. And we need to get in the habit that, you know what, God has ordained us to go out and preach the Word, does He not? We're going to preach the Word to people who's just going to be totally non-receptive to us. It happened in the Bible. It's going to happen today. Remember, there's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new. In other words, whatever we think God was automatically can say, been there, done that. Okay? He's done it. He knows that people will totally turn up their nose, they will turn their head, they don't want to have anything to do with God. And the Word is telling us what we need to do. Shake the dust off your feet, leave that house or that city, and be gone. The Lord was not received. Amen. Why was the Lord not received in His own hometown? Because they thought He was a carpenter. This is a carpenter. Why is He telling us these things? This is a Marine. Why is He out here preaching this Word? That's not His trade. He kills people and breaks things. That's what Marines do. That's what they do. Amen. Why is He preaching this Word? It goes against everything that He's been taught in His trade. Amen. And it might sound stupid, but that's what people think of Marines. It's like in the doctrine. You do things. It's Air Force flies. The Army has soldiers. Amen. The Navy provides ships. We all have our special place in the world that we do. God has the same thing in our lives with Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So shake the very dust off your feet. They will suffer greatly, yes, more than Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment. So, woe to them. Not woe to you. Your job is to propagate the word of the Lord. Amen. They will suffer greatly. So we've got to trust in Jesus. That's the bottom line. Being the proverbial carpenter and knowing your wood is key. I know the God that I serve is more than ready to fight for me no matter where He sends me. He may send me to a place that I think is insufferable, but my belief in Him who sent me will carry me through. Amen? So you might say, well, why is He sending? Why am I going over there? I don't want to go to Okinawa. He's got something in store for you. You don't know it because you're still thinking in this fleshly thing, but God's got something in the works for you. Amen? His Word clearly tells us that we will suffer some things. There's no doubt about that. The Word says, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Matthew 10:22. We have to realize that the new man is bought with a price. Amen? The old man, our fleshly man, is not able to make it to heaven without a rebirth. Amen? Everybody under the sound of my voice should know what it takes to be saved. Amen? We know we must be born again. Amen? We know we must be water baptized and full immersion in the name of Jesus. Amen? We know we need to be repentant of our sin. We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. Amen. We know those things. Not because their brother Abraham's passion, Brother Sam. It's what the Word of the Lord says. Amen. Let's stand, please. Hallelujah. Are you sure of who you are today? Amen. We're bought with a price. The old man, our fleshly man, is not able to make it to heaven without a rebirth. Knowing who you are in a world, a sinner, who you are in Christ, a royal priesthood. Amen. In the world, we're sinners. In the Lord, we're a royal priesthood, a child of the King. Knowing you possess the trade and the tools, just as a carpenter does, will get you where you need to go and also allow us to bring somebody else with us. Amen. Are you sure of who you are today? Are you willing to come out from behind your veil and present the real world? I'm sorry, present the real you to the world? Or are you scared of what others might think? I tell you from personal example, when I first came to God, I didn't want to go around people that knew me, or I didn't want to go around and start talking about the Lord because I was afraid what they were going to think of me. Because they knew the type of person that I was already. I had these friends. I had these set of people that I hung around with. And we did X, Y, and Z together. Amen? And you know what? We did X, Y, and Z together, and we had fun doing it. Because that's who I was. But as soon as I found God, I didn't like those things anymore. I didn't like them. So now I have a whole new way of life that I would never think about going back, Brother Delby, and doing all those things that I used to do. It's just not in me. It's not in me. And that's where we need to be in the Lord. Amen. And I don't have a special talent that the Lord is only going to look down on me favorably. We all have the same measure. Amen. God loves us all the same. He doesn't want any to perish. Amen. So we have to realize who we are in the God. We have to realize what kind of tools God has given us. Amen. That old man just won't make it. It won't make it. Amen. Do you know that God, what God can do in your life once you come to a realization of who He is? Let me encourage you this morning to leave the old man behind and present ourselves a new man unto the Lord. Amen. If you have anything that's in your life this morning that you know is representative of the old person, the old man, the old woman, let me encourage you to take it to the altar today. Take it to the altar and just leave it there. Whenever you get up from your place of prayer in a little bit, you got something, leave it on the chair, leave it on the ground, and when you get up, say, God, I give it to you. And walk away from it. And don't go back and visit it again. Because the Bible teaches us about Lot's wife not to look back on those things. Sodom and Gomorrah was a horrible place, Brother Smith. It was a horrible place. Why Lot's wife would want to look back is beyond me. But you know what? I don't have to try to think about what was going through her mind. I only need to know the repercussions if I do look back. Okay? I only need to know those repercussions. Because a wise man learns from the experiences of others. I don't want to have to put my hand on that hot stove to know that it's hot. Amen? We all know. I'm going to watch somebody else get their hand burned, and I'm going to know not to do it. Amen? So let's find a place to pray, and let me encourage you to give any issues, any problems you have to the Lord, and let's focus on being a new creature in Christ. Amen? Hallelujah, Jesus, folks.